بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشار فبلا الشيخ أول رومي وقت تبرز دورة الشيخ رالا وعرب العجم هذا الشيخ حكيم ومد اختصر من أور الله مركزه ده تايتل آه جو دل تري غم کا حامل نہیں آه جو دل تري غم کا حامل نہیں دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں آپ چاہیں ہمیں یہ کرم آپ کا آپ چاہیں ہمیں یہ کرم آپ کا ورنہ ہم چاہنے کے تو قابل نہیں ورنہ ہم چاہنے کے تو قابل نہیں آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں صحبت اہل دل جس نے پائی نہ ہو صحبت اہل دل جس نے پائی نہ ہو اس کا غم غم نہیں اس کا دل دل نہیں اس کا غم غم نہیں اس کا دل دل نہیں صحبت اہل دل جس نے پائی نہ ہو اس کا غم غم نہیں اس کا دل دل نہیں جس جگہ آپ کا قرب ملتا نہ ہو جس جگہ آپ کا قرب ملتا نہ ہو قرب ملتا نہ ہو ہو کے منزل بھی وہ میری منزل نہیں ہو کے منزل بھی وہ میری منزل نہیں غیر حق سے لگاتا ہے جو اپنا دل غیر حق سے لگاتا ہے جو اپنا دل تیری الفت کے غم کا وہ حامل نہیں تیری الفت کے غم کا وہ حامل نہیں آپ کا ہوں میں بس اور کسی کا نہیں آپ کا ہوں میں بس اور کسی کا نہیں کوئی لیلا نہیں کوئی محامل نہیں کوئی لیلا نہیں کوئی محامل نہیں کہہ رہا ہے یہ اختر ببانگے دہل کہہ رہا ہے یہ اختر ببانگے دہل بہر الفت کا کوئی بھی ساحل نہیں بہر الفت کا کوئی بھی ساحل نہیں صحبت اہل دل جس نے پائی نہ ہو اس کا غم غم نہیں اس کا دل دل نہیں اس کا غم غم نہیں اس کا دل دل نہیں دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں، آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں، آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول کریم، اما بعد۔ Now we will just do a brief translation and explanation of this beautiful poem of Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and then so beautifully by Baba Ijaz. Ah, jo dil tere gham ka hamil nahi. Oh, that heart which does not have in it the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Alayh said, most likely, that Allah Ta'ala created different parts of the body. The hand is for feeling, the eye is for seeing, the ear is for hearing. A different parts of the body, and they all have a function. They must be used for that function. And Allah Ta'ala has created the heart of a person. And the purpose and the object of the heart is to love. And whose love should be in the heart of a person? The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat is saying here, the do jaha ka maza usko hasil nahi, ah jo dil tere gham ka hamil nahi. That person will not attain the enjoyments of this world also, and the enjoyment of the year after. Oh, that person who is not carrying within his heart the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's got the heart, love of every single thing else in this world, but he hasn't got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that person cannot attain the enjoyment of this world also, and even akhirat, he will get jannat, he will go to jannat, he will get the pleasures of jannat. But the greatest pleasure in jannah is to have the contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is the creator of everything, Allah is the most beloved, Allah is the most beautiful. So if a person has not got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, he will enter jannah. But that enjoyment of Jannah also he won't attain. That person who has got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will get this enjoyment in this world also, and enjoyment in the life of the year after. Then Hazrat says, Aap chahe hame ye karam aapka, warna hum chahne ke taqabil nahi. That this desire which we have got within ourselves, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawfiq and ability to do any action, this is only the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise we are not worthy of even having this desire in ourselves to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the karam and the kindness of Allah ta'ala for us to sit in the masjid. We should make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say all of us, Alhamdulillah. Allah gave us tawfiq to come in the gatherings of the awliya, Allah, the friends of Allah ta'ala. This is not our doing. It is the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sohbat ahle dil, jisne paayi na ho, uska gham gham nahi, uska dil dil nahi. Those people who have not attained the sohbat and the companionship of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that person's love is not true love. And that person, his heart is not a true heart. So he'll live in this world, he'll have whatever love, even if he's got love of deen. But normally how will his love of deen also be created? In the company of the Ahlullah, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we study the history of Islam, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people who stayed in his company were called Sahaba. And they were called Sahaba because of suhbat. Because they stayed in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had the suhbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Allah has given them very, very high ranks and status. So deen also spread through suhbat. In every zamana and eras, in the past eras, whenever a person had students, they used to call him ashab. Ashabu Abi Hanifa, ashabu Abi Huraira. The ashab, the students, those who stuck in the suhbat, in company of their ustad. So for deen to come into a person, very, very important is suhbat, companionship. Today many people, they read books. By books you might get a bit of knowledge of deen. But the essence of deen, the reality of deen, you will only get in the company of the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people even worse, they go on the computer, they study some things of deen, should be very, very careful. Many times a person can become misguided if he's not on the right path, he's not seeing the right things. Outwardly everything seems very, very beautiful. But how many people go astray just by reading the wrong information? So we should be very, very careful. But if a person wants to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wants a true heart, then he will have to sit in the company of the Ahli Deel, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the Quran Sharif, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. If you want connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stay in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person will attain it. His heart will then become a true heart, a heart filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Hazrat says, جِسْ جَگَا آپ کا قُرْب ملتا نہ ہو، ہوکے منزل بھی وہ میری منزل نہیں. In that place in which I am not getting the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though outwardly it may be a deeni gathering, but I can't feel I'm getting any closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it might be one stage also, but it's not my station, it's not where I am going. My object of life is to get the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to get the affection and the feeling with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. at all times, in all those gatherings, I want to spend my life, I want to sit in those gatherings. غیرِ حق سے لگاتا ہے جو اپنا دل تیرے الفت کے غم کا وہ حامل نہیں. And those people who put their heart in anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person can never ever bear the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who's putting in his heart, once Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, oh Jibreel, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أحبب من شئت فإنك مفارقه. Love whoever you want to in this world, whatever you love in this world. So as to tease the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But remember, one day you will separate from it. Everything in this world, whatever you love, you will have to separate. Whether a person loves his business, whether he loves his house, whether he loves his wife, his children, his money, all of these things are all temporary. So a person who puts his heart in anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person can never ever get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very, very important for us to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ghayrullah, those besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have to come out of our heart. Abu Bidruf mentioned a very, very easy way is, that is bring the love of Allah ta'ala into our heart. Automatically, the love of ghayrullah will come out of the heart. Many, many people feel, I got too much of love for guna and sins. I can't come out of sins. I can't stay away from this sin. I got too much of love for my business. I got too much of love for my money, for my wealth, for things of this dunya, for the things of this world. Very, very easy way is, just sit in the company of the Ahlullah, friends of Allah ta'ala. Make some dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have the desire to get the love of Allah ta'ala. Once the love of Allah ta'ala comes into a person's heart, automatically all the darkness will run away. The love of dunya will come out. The love of sins will come out from a person's heart. When a person gets the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah give myself and all of us tawfiq, that khayrullah comes out of our heart and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into our heart. Ulama say at the time of death, وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Whatever is in a person's heart at the time of death, this is what will come out. If ghayrullah is in the heart, this will come out at the time of death. As Mawlana Umar Sa'apan Puri rahmatullah alayhi, give a beautiful example. He says that parrot is singing beautiful nazams, and it's singing Quran Sharif also, and it's making nice, nice sounds, but it's nothing in the heart of the parrot. It's just making all those sounds. So one day the cage was left open, and the cat came there, and the cat put its paws into the cage, and it pulled out the parrot. So at that time, the parrot forgot its kalimas, it forgot its nazams, it forgot its tilawat of Quran Sharif. Only the original voice, what was in the heart of the parrot, pe, 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 the sound came out from the parrot. Because that was what's in the heart of the parrot. So whatever is in our hearts at the time of death will come out. If Allah is in our heart, and where we can judge us very, very easily, Abu Dhuru says, see in namaz, when we are standing in salah, where is our mind? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, such Allah says that they were in their businesses. It did not distract them from the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. They were thinking of Allah in their businesses. We in our salah, unfortunately, we are thinking of everything besides our salah. So when a person, before he goes to sleep at night, what are his thoughts? Is he thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all filth and dirt? Then only a person will realize exactly what is in the heart of a person. So those who have put ghayri haq, those besides Allah ta'ala in their heart, then they can never ever bear the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aapka hu bas, me bas, aur kisi ka nahi. Koi leila nahi, koi mahmil nahi. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to be only yours and no one else's. I don't want to be any woman's. I don't want to be any vehicle. They must not be the love of my life, the object of my life. I'm running after a certain woman. And Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah used to mention, he says, any other guna and sin, the person's heart turns away 90 degrees from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he says, love for a woman, the illicit love affair a person is having, zina, fornication, and all of this filth. And today the pornography, what people are going on to and watching, he says the heart turns 180 degrees away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not 90 degrees. Now a person is going into sajda also, but he's thinking of his beloved. And there are cases of people who, when they're passing away, they said, I'll make tawbah of all my sins besides the love of so and so person. One person, he was a Muslim, he fell in love with a non-Muslim woman. And she was a non-Muslim. They couldn't get married. They both got sick and they were about to pass away. Allah is doing. He said, you know what, I never got this woman in this world. So I leave my iman, I go on to her religion, so at least I can meet her in the akhirat. And she on the other side, she said, I could never get my beloved in this world. So she accepted Islam at that moment of her life. And she said, at least I'll join him in the akhirat. But this is Allah Ta'ala is doing in the world, but Allah protect and save us. It doesn't mean now you must get a non-Muslim girlfriend and you say that maybe she'll get iman because of this. But what a serious thing it is, that a person can lose his iman because of this illicit love affairs, all this filth and dirt, zina, fornication, where a person goes. The person's heart is completely turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keh raha hai akhtar babang ke duhal, bahre ulfat ka koi bhi sahil nahi. Hazrat says, at the top of my voice, I am screaming and shouting out that there is no shore to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today the whole world, every single person is wants to desire, fulfill his desires. Remember, this world is not a place of fulfillment of desires. This world is a place of necessity. We have to fulfill our needs in this world. Jannah is a place of desires. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا. Whatever enjoyments, whatever desires you have got in akhirat, you will be able to fulfill. In this world, a person who desires to fulfill his desire, a person who desires to fulfill all of his desires, he will never ever be successful. He'll get worse and worse. The sickness will only increase. The more a person takes salt water, you are thirsty, and you drink salt water, sea water, your thirst will only increase. You get more and more thirstier. But when a person takes sweet water, then his thirst will be quenched. If we are taking guna and sin and thinking we will quench our thirst, فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَشْرَةَ شَهْوَتِيَا. Allah Mabusiri rahmatullah alayhi says, don't ever think that I will fulfill my desires and my desires will come less. Because the more you eat the food, the more it will increase your appetite, your desire for sins. So Hazrat says, yeah, and then eventually a person reaches such a level that he commits suicide also. Because he's looking, what is next? What is next? I want more desires, more enjoyment. I watch one film, second film, third film. I read one novel, second one. I fulfill my desires with one woman, now second woman, third woman. Hazrat Ali rahmatullah said, if a person has desires, he fulfills his desires with every single woman in the world. There's only one woman left. You see, maybe the desire which I was looking for was getting this last woman. So to fulfill desires is impossible. But there is one thing which never ever comes to an end, and that is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no shore to it. The more a person goes in there, the more enjoyment he gets. More and more and more. There is no end to it. So a person will enjoy himself forever and forever and forever. May Allah give all of us tawfiq and ability that firstly we realize that we need to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we have to sit in the sohbat of the awliya Allah, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to acquire this love. Thirdly, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dua of the sunnah dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wal amal alladhi yuballighuni hubbak. O Allah, I ask you for your love, the love of those who love you, and those a'mal and actions which will lead me to your love. Make this dua. If you don't know the Arabic, make it in English also. But daily make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, through the barakat and blessings of that, Allah will give us his love. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه وقال تعالى واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In this ayat al-karima which I've recited, or rather before we start our talk, as our Shaykh instructed us to always make muzakara, discuss one sunnat of Hazrat Nabiyyi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So relevant to our topic, one great sunnat is to make tawbah and istighfar of all our sins. Today, unfortunately, we find ourselves in a situation that we are committing sins right, left and center. We are committing sins in the day, in the night, in our public life, in our private life. outside the masjid, inside the masjid we are also committing sins. In our namaz also, no concentration, we're thinking of evil things, all bad things, etc. So we are involved so much in sin. But each one, myself, all of us, think, when do we make tawbah istighfar? We are not depositing money into our account and we're just drawing all the time. How can a person, how can you function like that? So we're not putting anything good into our account and we're just committing sins and we are drawing out. Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, He allows us, He allows us. And He does, that is a separate subject, why Allah allows us. He gives us time, respite to make tawbah. Oh, may Allah save us that He doesn't take us to task in dunya and He takes us to task in akhirah, which is too severe to even contemplate. May Allah save us. So anyway, this is a great sunnah to make tawbah and istighfar. And may Allah give us tawfiq to make it a regular feature in our lives. The bare minimum, read 10 times, Allah addressing myself, just astaghfirullah, 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 it won't take you 10 seconds also. Just start even with that. When we plant a seed, the tree doesn't grow immediately. It takes time. Some trees take many years before they grow and you can get the benefit of those trees. But at least you have planted the seed. And istighfar is not just words, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, or we hit our cheeks, tawbah, tawbah, tawbah. That is not really, but at least it's a start. It's the words of istighfar at least. And slowly if we carry on, reality will also come. And when reality comes, we will see the great difference. Allah give us all tawfiq to make regularly istighfar. And if we can, every day after Fajr, and every day after Asr, after Maghrib, whenever, just start, those who haven't, those who are doing more must carry on and increase. But those who haven't, 10 times Durood Sharif, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What difficulties in that? 10 times third kalima, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And 10 times istighfar. Read the whole istighfar. Otherwise, just astaghfirullah also. Just start with this and carry on. And I promise you, trusting in Allah Ta'ala and the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So simple, so easy. This will take us a very long way. May Allah give us tawfiq. The ayat kareema that I've recited of the Qur'an Pak, on which I wish to base my talk for tonight, Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Give up, don't do outward zahir sins, which are open, apparent, and hidden sins. Give up all types of sins. Whatever type of sin, some places they pronounce sin as sin. So whether you pronounce it as sin or whether you pronounce it as sin, but the same thing, disobedience of Allah, going against the laws of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala gives it up. Tonight, inshallah, Allah give tawfiq, just a little bit only on sins. What are sins? How harmful, how detrimental are sins? And the reason, perhaps why, today sins are so common. Every one of us, we're just committing sins. Not minor sins, major sins we are committing. And no thought that it's a sin. So we have to become aware of what the sins are. So Allah Ta'ala says, give up all your sins. And let us also realize that we have only got one enemy. And that is the commission of sins. No country is our enemy. No nation is our enemy. Normally we say these people are our worst enemies. They are just at the throats of the Muslims. They want to destroy the Muslims. No, it is our sins. Clearly Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. That when a person commits a sin, the Quran terms him, amongst many other terms, as a zalim, a person who has done wrong, a person who has done oppression. Before somebody oppresses you, you have oppressed already. By committing sin, you're an oppressor already. One beautiful example is given by one of our great ulama, that one brother usurped, took away the land of his brother. He didn't give him his share, he took his land away. Then he asked, who is the wrongdoer? We all will say the one who took the land away. He said, actually, the one whose land has been taken, he is the wrongdoer. So Allah Ta'ala imposed his brother to take his land away. Our son, whatever wrong he had done, in punishment of that, Allah put the other brother to take away his land. A nation attacks the Muslims, does harm, because we have done something wrong. Now Allah uses, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. These people who are greatest sinners, Allah uses them to punish those who are lesser sinners. Allah does not come with His own, His Himself with a stick and starts hitting us for having done wrong. But Allah Ta'ala uses ahwal in this dunya. He uses a person, He uses a nation, He uses sicknesses, He uses... Allah says in the Quran that what type of punishments Allah can send? One type of punishment is this also, that He divides your hearts. You are a family, husband, wife. When you got married, how happy. Before marriage, you are more happy. After marriage, now you start fighting. Eh? So who has put that fight in there? We are not in control of our hearts also, remember. What our actions are, the reactions are accordingly. According to our actions, and not what we thinking our actions. By Allah, who is the creator of actions, and who is the giver of the results of action. That counts, not what we do. According to us, I'm having Allah forgive us and save us all, illicit love affair. Your halal wife, no enjoyment. You see her, it doesn't tickle you in the least, but that woman, you're not seeing her, you're just thinking of her. And now you are going mad, you can't control yourself. Now you are messaging, and on every word you got something to tell her. And with your wife, you can't speak one word also. And there with everything, whatever color shoes she wore, you got something for that also. And she will tell you. So all that is what we, but by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the reaction of those actions are something completely different. It's not what I feel. It is, I'm not the creator of my actions, I'm not the creator of the reaction of my actions. That is all in the hands of Allah ta'ala, which we don't see and we don't want to understand. We have to understand that every action of ours has got a reaction. And that reaction, and according to that action, is from Allah, who is the controller, creator of everything. So no nation is our enemy, no country is our enemy. Our own actions, our own sins, they are our worst enemies. Allah Ta'ala make it that we can understand that. And nations and countries are further away. But right immediately, my neighbor is not my enemy. My brother is not my enemy. Nobody else is my enemy. Or my competitors are not my enemies. Competitors, normally we feel that they cause us a lot of problems. But there are competitors in Saudi Arabia, big, big companies. Those who are Muslims, the rulers, the directors of the company. Another company comes and open up, they send their staff to go and help those people. Eh? Where can you imagine something like that? They send food for those people. And many other cases. So it is what our actions are that is going to bring the result of those things. One or two examples to let us understand. First, on a different note, by which we can understand that our actions, all our actions, and at the moment, good actions also, but that is not our subject today, but good actions also have a tremendous great result. And there are no better friends for us than our good action. But today we are talking a bit more on our bad action, because sins are so common, and we don't bother about them also. We don't think about them also. A person goes to work every day. There is a vagabond, a beggar at his doorstep on the pavement. He sees this man going. He says, where are you going? I'm going to work. He says, I see you going every day. When you go in the morning, you take your bus fare, you take your train fare, or you take your car, you take petrol money, whatever it is. And every day you go fresh in the morning. When you come back in the evening, you are exhausted, you are tired, you can't even walk straight. What are you wasting your time? Sit at home. See me, I just lie here whole day. And whatever I get, I enjoy that. And you wasting your time. He carries on. Next day he says, you are not feeling well. But still you're going to work. And I see, in the morning you go with your lunch done. You got your lunch also. When you come back, empty handed. All your lunch also you finished. And you got nothing. And I see that your wife was sick, your children were sick, but still you're going to work. Every day you're going to work and you're coming with nothing. You tell him, don't worry, you'll see end of the month what I will get. So he says, whole 30 days, 31 days, then you say you're going to get something. You say, just have patience, you'll see. Anyway, an example of a few days passed, a few years. Now it's a different world. Our whole economic system also has changed. So at the end of the month, he gets a nice check, a nice fat check. In those days, 10,000 big money, 15,000 big money. You say, you see what I got? You said, I'm stupid. I'm leaving my wife. I'm sick. I take my lunch. I take my money for travel. And now see what I got? A check for 10,000, 15,000. You say, so much you sacrificed. One paper you got and you're so happy. You can't eat this paper. You can't sleep in this paper. You can't travel in this paper. Oh, you say, this man is very stupid. He can't understand anything. So he goes and cashes the check. Now he's got so many, all different denomination of notes, 200 rand, 100 rand, 50, 20, 10. He's got some coins also. He says, you see, you told me I'm stupid. He says, you had one paper, now you've got many papers. And all these papers also, you can't eat them, you can't drink in them, you can't stay in them, and you are happy. See me, I was not going to work, I was enjoying. Then he understands this man is even more stupid. Now with that same papers, he goes and buys his month's groceries. Now he tells him, you see that every day going to work, which looked like nothing, it has turned into my groceries now. Now I paid my rental. You see, now I've got this good house. Now I paid my water and lights. Now I've got this. That thing which looked like nothing going to work. Like we make namaz, it looks like we're getting nothing. But at the end, it's going to translate, it's going to turn in something great. And for our subject of tonight, our sins that we committed, it's also just gone in the air. But it's not gone in the air. It's going to bring terrible results. A person who overspends on his credit card and just goes on, what's going to happen to that person? Where is he going to land up? And all the other wrong that we do, where will it land up? So all our actions have got a reality in the reaction. Whether it is the sins also, good deeds also have got a reality in its reaction. The action is just an action. I'm making bayan now. You people are listening. Nothing came in my pockets and nothing went in your pockets. You're not going to give me 100 rand each to put in my pocket. I'm not going to say you stayed up to listen to me, my boring talk, so I'm going to give each one 100 rand. Nothing like that is going to happen. But wallah, according to our intentions, these things, this very sitting of ours and this very talking, may Allah accept it. It will turn into something very, very great. In the same way we are sitting in front of the TV, for example. We are watching haram. TV today is in our pockets in the masjid. In the masjid in Atikaf, how many people are watching what filth and dirt? It's not just that you watched it, it's going to turn into some reality. Just like that person going to work whole month, it's going to turn into some reality. All these things will turn into reality also. One example to understand this now, as far as sin is concerned, with this example, it's possible, some of us may laugh a bit, but it's not the example, it's the moral of the example that we should take note of. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has given this very beautiful, effective example. A person got married, normally age 20, 25, you get married 25, round about there. Came, slept with his wife, but he wet the bed. So the wife said, what is this? You are a grown-up man, 25 years old, and you wet the bed. Small children wet the bed, and slowly you try and take them out of the habit. And if they grow a little bigger and they're still wetting the bed, then you have to go for medical treatment. There's something wrong with this boy, this girl. She's 6 years, 7 years, and she's still wetting the bed. But at the beginning, we try and take them out, and they come out of the habit. Normally, they come out of the habit. But you're a grown-up man, and you wet the bed. He said, actually, what happens when I sleep, Shaitan comes to me in my dream and he takes me for a walk, a long walk, and he comes every night. She said, Shaitan is such a good friend of yours. He comes to you every night and he takes you for a long walk, and after a long time everyone has the urge to go to toilet. You have to go to number one, you have to go and relieve yourself, sometimes number two also. And I tell Shaitan that I need to relieve myself. So Shaitan shows me a very modern, ultra hygienic, very clean toilet. I go there and do my work there. But then in the morning I find it was in the bed. There was no toilet, nothing. That was just a dream. So she said, the wife said, oh, Shaitan is such a good friend of yours. Every night he takes you for a walk and he shows you such a good toilet. You know, we are so poor people. Tell him, what is he showing you all this toilet and that? Show you where all the wealth, the money, the gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, emeralds are. Shaitan is a jinn. And the jinn know everything where they are. And they just go through easily through everything. And to understand that, we were sitting at Brother Farhad's place this afternoon, and we were sitting outside on the patio, and through the glass door, you see the table, the coffee table, inside the glass. One friend of ours who was sitting with us, he walked that side. So I saw he's walking through the coffee table. There is just an image you see. And he's walking right through the coffee table. Like that, jinnats walk right through anything. They walk through this wall also. That was just one thing we see, just the image. And a person is walking, he's walking right through that wall also. But it's just an image. But in reality, shaitan, jinnat, they walk through everything. For them, there is nothing. For us, we can't walk through this wall. Allah made it that way, but they just walk through. Malakul Maut, he just walks through. They got no problem. Malaika, angels also, these walls mean nothing to them. And big, big steel structures mean nothing to them. They just walk through. Anyway, so tell Shaitan that we are very poor people and he knows where all the money is kept and he can just go and get it. So he said, yes, a bright idea. Which in our thoughts, when we think it in picture form, big exclamation mark. Bright idea a person has got. So he said, yes, I'll tell him. That night he told Shaitan, my wife says, what is this? You showing me toilet and all that and I'm messing the bed. Show me where all the money. He said, what's it? No problem. You are such a good friend of mine. And I will show you. I'll take you. You're my good friend. Every night we go for a walk. So he took him immediately where all these, where all the valuables, etc., were. And he was so excited also. And that box was so heavy also that when he went and picked it up, instead of number one, he did number two. So now the wife told him in the morning, I told you to bring money and that. All the valuables, you made worse. First you were only urinating. Now you have made it even worse and in the bed. So she said, rather just do what you were doing before. That's also bad, but not as bad as this. This is even worse. This usually, as I said, we might have a laugh at it and we might just remember this. We might go and tell our families also, our friends this. It happened one place, I mentioned this. Afterwards they told, it was in the ladies that talked. They said the ladies enjoyed the talk. What they enjoyed? This year. I asked him, what was the moral of that? That no one knew. Just the story. So the story is just the story. We know it's not a reality. But the moral is important. What is the moral? Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali wrote, may it come into my heart, not just the talking from my tongue, and for all of us, may it come into our hearts. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, sins are worse than that urine and stool also. If we go to the toilet, we flush it away, it's gone, it's clear. Toilet nowadays with our, we spray there a little bit and it's again it's very nice and everything. That terrible smell also is gone, everything is gone. But in the bed, how terrible isn't it? But worse than that are our sins. Our sins are worse than these whatever. So if we can understand whichever sin we commit, sin of the eye, sin of our thoughts, sin of our tongue, sin of our hands, whichever sin we commit, it is worse than urine and worse than stool in the bed also. That is the reality of sin. May Allah make us to understand and let us awaken to this. We are in a slumber really. And it must not happen that when maut comes, then we realize everything is going to be presented then. And everything won't be that enjoyment you are having watching that film. Or watching that sports, soccer you are watching and you are enjoying and you are jumping and you are dancing there. That your team won or you went into depression, your team lost. No, the result of it will come on you there. And when that result comes, Allahu Akbar, how terrible won't that be? So all our sins have got a terrible effect. So the important thing to understand from this example is that our sins are worse than urine and stool also. One time, very many years ago, we were in the Kruger Park and we came across a place where the lions had done their kill. We didn't see that. They had killed a giraffe. Maybe 2-3 days had passed already. Now the giraffe was just lying there. After 2-3 days, the stench that comes from it. And what a terrible smell. We stopped to have a little look. And as we opened the windows, that smell was so terrible that we could not stay there for another moment also. We had to take out our ether bottles and put some ether at the nose and just turn up the windows and drive away. But for the vultures and those birds, that smell was like biryani, like roast to them. How they were enjoying. And it clearly comes in the hadith, our sins, when a person lies and is enjoying lying now. He's making a fool out of somebody. And he's happy in his heart. How I made my boss a fool. What a story I told him and he fell for my story. For me, I'm enjoying it. But for the malaika who are there, and these malaika who Allah has appointed to protect us, every person, we don't need security, etc. Really, if we get to reality, Allah says, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. That there are these malaika, security, these personnel to protect you. But when you lie, they can't take that smell of that lie. For them, in reality, it's a terrible smell. And they go to such a distance where they cannot smell it anymore. The same way we backbiting about somebody. And look at him, what he did, and how he is, and how he looks, and how he talks, etc. And we're laughing and rolling on our stomachs, and we are enjoying it. But for the malaika, the terrible smell, and the reality of that ghibat and backbiting, we cannot imagine. And we're going to suffer that consequences, illa man tab. If we make tawbah in the correct sense, as Maulana Musa explained, with the correct, all the conditions, then Allah is so merciful, He will forgive. But otherwise, that sin is very, very terrible and very severe. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Alayh, used to also give a very beautiful example. A person stole money, lots of money. Now he's got it in those days, he's going on his motorcycle. Now you are going in your motor car, whatever, and your money, you packed it properly, wherever you know, thought that it is the most safest. In the spare wheel, under your seat, wherever you thought is the most safest. And you are going, and now you are planning in your mind, I'm going to buy this kind of car, I'm going to build a house like this, I'm going for this cruise of mine, a lifetime cruise, I'm going for this holiday. You are planning and you are happy within yourself. Suddenly, this time, these days, your cell phone rings. Now when you take the phone, your parent tells you, they have caught up with you. They know you have got this, you the crook, and you've got the money, and there's a roadblock in front of you. It's coming very soon, and they're going to stop you, search you, and they're going to find that money. Now that very, all the thoughts of his are gone. Now he's seeing the jail in front of him. Now he's seeing an imprisonment sentence on him. Now he's seeing all those things. Now this evidence of all that enjoyment which was, now and then he was feeling, is the money still safe? There wasn't a hole somewhere in the bottom of the car and all the, my money fell out. He was protecting it. Now he wants to just get rid of that money. He opens this window and throws out this side. He opens that window, let the money go, but at least they don't find the evidence on me. Let's throw it out this side. So this is when the reality comes. When you realize, you thought that the sin is very enjoyable. Now you see how terrible and you want to get rid of it. One friend of ours, this is a true story, which happened many years ago. He was robbed by his own workers. And they found out in a good time. And these workers, a huge, huge amount they robbed him. So they took that money, these people, and they put it on their body, fastened it nicely, everything. And they were going to cross the border. But already the police were informed, and they knew that they were going to be crossing a certain border. So they informed the immigration there, the security people there, customs, etc., that if such a person comes, just be alert. This person thought he's sharp, he's very wise. He knows the border closes at 12 o'clock. I'll go 11:45, 15 minutes. They also tired. They're just going to stamp my passport with one eye closed and I will walk through. But they were waiting for him. As soon as he came, they took him into a room. They stripped him, now all that money. With that money, what he was thinking, what I will do in my country, in my village, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do all that. Now that very money has turned against him. So just like that, all our sin, they will turn terribly against us. A person, you committed a crime, Allah save us all, with a few friends, and some of them turned state witness. Now they were with you, and then now they're giving evidence against you. On the day of Qiyamah, Allahu Akbar, the Quran Sharif says in our language that your hands and legs are going to turn state witness against you. And you will tell your hands and legs, لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. Why are you giving evidence against me? All that enjoyment of touching with my hands and doing this, I did it for how much enjoyment weren't you getting? My hands were getting. My eyes, I was looking at those women, I was looking at porn, and for your enjoyment of the eyes, I was doing this. And today you have done. He say, what can antaqana Allahu alladhi antaqa kulla shay? That Allah has made us to speak, that Allah who has got the ability and power, let us realize the qudrat of Allah. Allah doesn't need the tongue to speak. How can the tongue speak? What is in the tongue to speak? Allah on the day of Qiyamah will make the hand speak, will make the leg speak, every part of the body will speak. That piece of ground on which whichever sin you committed, and good also, but we are talking about sin, the ground will give evidence against you. Everything will give evidence against us. We chose the best, safest place to go and commit our sins wherever we wanted to. And that very safest place will turn the worst enemy against us. So this is what our sins are. They will turn not only against us, they will turn monsters against us. They will be the worst monsters, and they will torture us. Those very sins which we are enjoying now, they will turn to be the worst monsters against us. And what won't be those sins when they will turn into the fire of Jahannam, etc. All those sins. For example, a few examples of reality which we have been told by Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is As-Sadiq, Al-Ameen, and these titles were given to him not by his people who loved him, but his enemies gave him these titles. So true Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Today when we lie, how we enjoy lying. But this very lying will take its form in the akhirah. And what will it be? That a person will be cut with a scissor of fire from here, from where his lips meet, up this side. And then the other side, by that time this side will have healed again. And then he will be cut again, and this will carry on. Yeah, that sin was very enjoyable to us. How much we lie to the wife. How much we lie to the children. A mother lies to her children. Don't tell daddy about this. Just tell daddy this story. All these things happen all the time. That everyone lying today. Allah save us. But sometimes we're sitting here. We're sitting on the minbar. And we're telling something, and we are lying in there also. And how many times, we don't think of it as a lie also. A person in a meeting we are sitting, and he wants his point to be proven. Suddenly he just goes outside, now he's speaking on the phone, he got a phone call. No one he's speaking to, he's just making like he's speaking. And then he comes back, he says, no, that person also said this is how we must do it. And he spoke to no one. And we don't think of it as a lie also. And lying has become so common that we don't think of it as a lie also. In the home, we are telling just the wife today, this happened, that happened, and how many lies we are adding to it. So, and this lie is not just a lie, that sin is going to turn into this terrible condition here. A alim, may Allah protect us all, who did not practice what he preached. He preached something else, and he practiced something else. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw with his eyes that he will be in a river or something like that, of blood or something, and he will come to the shores, and there will be somebody with a big boulder who will throw it onto his head. So yeah, it was nice to give bayans and lectures and impress the people, and on the other hand, you went into opposite to that. What will be the condition of that? So all this, yeah, you got all the praises of the people. MashaAllah, what a bayan, etc. But there on the, what it will turn into, sins will take on their reality, their true forms, especially in the akhirat, and sometimes in this very world also. There are certain sins which have come in the hadith part that in this world Allah will punish the person. One of them is disobedience of parents and hurting the feelings of parents, and today we don't care two hoots about it. How we carry on with our parents, how we speak to them, we don't worry whatsoever. And it comes that in this world we see the poor person, what he has to go through. A pious person, and Allah wants to give him his stages in Jannah, but he has to go through what ordeal in this world before that sin can be forgiven. And then Allah will give him for all his piety. We know of people, regular rozas as young people, but they hurt the feelings of their parents. And in this world, they had to suffer what condition. And finally they went, and inshallah they're getting their darjas by Allah. But you had to pay for it before. And if we make tawbah, you went to your parents, you asked them forgiveness, then alhamdulillah. But otherwise, we'll have to pay for it. So sins will turn into monsters and they will do us great, great harm. Every sin that we can think of, it is our enemy. It is our worst enemy. It is our only enemy. Sins are our enemies. And it one beautiful saying, that there is atah, gifts from Allah Ta'ala on ita'at, on the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And there is asa, a stick. And that means Allah doesn't come with a stick, but in various forms Allah Ta'ala sends His punishment for those people who do ma'asiyat, who disobey Allah, for them is asa. And for those who obey Allah, for them is ata. Allah gives them gifts. In this world, how many people, what good deeds they did, and the fruit of it they enjoyed in this world, it turned into good. So all the sins that we commit, they are going to take on this monstrous forms. So Allah Ta'ala make us understand that the sins that we are committing so commonly and so brazenly without any fear of anything, and Allah gives Allah system also, let us understand normal system of Allah, He gives you respite. He lets you carry on. He doesn't just take a person to task immediately. He gives a person, and there are various reasons for that also. One of them is that he'll make tawbah. He'll come to his senses. He'll make tawbah. For some people, and may Allah not make us amongst them, that Allah makes it itmami hujjat. That now that person got no cause to come out of it. I gave him enough time, and he just carried on with his sin. And Allah takes that person to task, and that is very terrible if Allah Ta'ala does not give a person time to make tawbah, and he dies in that condition. And then sins also, for example, we wear our trousers, whatever it is from on top, the kurta, the trouser, below the ankle. This will turn into the fire of Jahannam in the year after. Yeah, you might think that I was very fashionable and I looked very nice with my kurta sweeping the street and long kurta, etc., or long trousers that I wore. But there, the fire of Jahannam, that it will touch those places. So every sin that we commit has got a form of it in the Akhirah. And in this world also it comes, and particularly in the Akhirah. So we have to understand and realize that our worst enemies, our only enemy is our sins. A person, husband and wife, we are having fights. We are going to this care line and we are going to that counselor. The real thing is our sins. If we make tawbah, we make rujoo, we reverse and we come right again, it will take some time. But if we will do that, automatically your things will come right. It comes clearly in a hadith sharif that a person who corrects his matters between himself and Allah. We correct, we come on deen, we make tawbah, we correct our lives. Allah corrects your matters between you and the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah brings that happiness and everything. Those who were your arch enemies, you suddenly see they have become your bosom friends. And Allah is the one who changes. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, Allah can change your friends into your worst enemies. He can change your worst enemies into your best friends. We have to correct our matters with Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. So Allah make it that I can realize this reality, and all of us can realize that our only enemy, our worst enemy is our sins. And who makes us commit the sin? Shaitan and nafs. So they are our enemies. And Allah has said, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Take him as your enemy. Why have we befriended Shaitan in all our things? And Allah Ta'ala is that compassionate, kind being that no matter how much a person committed sin. And we should also ask Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala one great dua. Allahumma aqbil biqalbi ila deenik. Oh Allah, make my heart turn towards your deen. When we have got that within us, then Allah will bring us closer. We are sitting in a bayan, all of us, I'm speaking, we all are listening. But if our hearts are not here, we're just sitting because now I have to show face, for example. Or we are just sitting that we have to sit here, I have to be here. That person doesn't get benefit. But when your heart is turned to Allah, some person is sitting here and he's working out all his work, orders which he has to take out tomorrow in the shop. Or whatever other work he has to do, he's doing all that, he's sitting here, but he's not here. That person does not benefit. But when we turn our hearts, some of us, we're finishing our zikr also in the bayan. We are reading our zikr, etc. That person doesn't benefit from the bayan. A person who turns his heart towards deen, towards Allah Ta'ala, and his niyat is, I want to benefit. And also for that, remember, it does not matter on who the speaker is, or what the speaker is speaking about. How much we have got that sincerity in us, and we have got that desire, according to that Allah Ta'ala will give us. If the speaker is not sincere, he hasn't got anything, that is his matter with Allah Ta'ala. But our matter will be according to our intention. We have got a good intention. I want to benefit. I want to become Allah's friend. I want to go towards Allah. Allah will deal with us accordingly. So Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is that great and kind being. Make this dua. Turn to Allah Ta'ala and Allah will open on us. When He opens, like a poet says, it was my hobby to look at the faults of other people. And unfortunately, I think perhaps that's a hobby. Every one of us got that hobby. Illa mashaAllah, only some people. But he says, when my eyes fell on my own faults, then I had no time to look at the faults of other people. So if Allah grants us that, opens us our faults upon us. And for that, al-mu'min, mir'atul mu'min. A mu'min is the mirror of a mu'min. Of myself, I cannot see if there's any mark on my face here, or if something is on my trouser at the back, in a very awkward place, there's some bad mark there, I can't see it. But your friend can see it, he can see it. So when a person will realize that I have got faults, if we can look in the mirror, and we see the mirror, and what great things the ulama have written also. A mirror is such a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. It will show you your faults as they are. You ask your friend, something here by my nose or something. He'll say, no, nothing. The whole world is going to laugh at you, but he told you there is nothing. The mirror will never do that. Will tell you exactly what is there. Oh, you've got a mark on your forehead or something, you've got some other mark, the mirror will tell you. And the mirror will not exaggerate, and it won't underplay the thing also. It will tell you exactly as it is. And the mirror is that it won't go and tell anybody else. The next person who comes in the front of the mirror won't say, you know the chap who came before, he was like this and he was like that. No, it's a closed file. The mirror won't tell anyone. This is how a mu'min, and today the ulama have written, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, one of the best and easy ways of Islah to correct ourselves, have a friend like that. But it's, perhaps, I don't know, I may be very negative, it's almost impossible to get a friend. Nobody wants to tell you your fault. Yes, he'll go and tell 100 people outside, but he won't tell you your fault. Hey, the mirror doesn't tell anyone else. The mirror tells you your fault and tells you as it is. But we know the fault of a person, we won't, I can't tell him, it's impossible. But I can go and tell 100,000 people, I can put it on the WhatsApp. I can put it on everywhere else I can put it, but I can't tell him. So Nabiya Kareem, as Nabiya Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a mu'min is a mirror of a mu'min. So if we can see, and one thing is also a mirror in this sense also, we see our friend regular for namaz, his good habits, take that good qualities in you. You see the bad things he's doing and what problems, stay away from all those things. So we have to try and become mirrors of one another. And at least we can. And where there is sincerity with the wife, tell her, tell me my faults as they are. And I will tell you your faults. But today, all of us, that generally, we like to be praised only. What faults you got? Out of the question. If I have to ask somebody, how was the bayan? The person was sleeping, he didn't enjoy the bayan. Oh, what a bayan. Your bayan. Were there any faults in your bayan? Out of the question. But a true friend will tell you exactly what the things are, where you erred, and then you correct yourself for the future if you are sincere and you want to. So Allah Ta'ala is that great and kind being. If we start seeing our own faults, and the minute you realize, I got something in my nose, I got something on my forehead, some mark here, etc., my kurta is soiled at the back, or my trouser, one time, one person, he was listening to Qawwali, and he was going into a hall, jumping and shouting. So the people said, this person is jumping a lot today, we have to try and calm him down. So one person said, I'll calm him down. They say, we have tried. Every time he carries on like this, he said, I'll sort him out. So he went, he just whispered 2-3 words in his ears, and he calmed down and he went away home. They say, what did you do? So he says, if this thing is solved, why are you worried what I did? But I solved the problem. They say, no, in future, again, if we have a problem, then we also know how to solve it. He said, I just whispered to him and told him, your trouser is torn at a very awkward place. The minute he realized my trouser is torn at such a place, he just calmed down. So this is just hal. It's only jhal. It's just a net to deceive the people. It's no reality. So the minute a person's eyes falls on his own faults, then he hasn't got time. Now he wants to go and sort himself out. So when a person realizes, and fortunate is that person, Allah make us, before our maut comes. And in fact, before it happens that we are bedridden, before it happens that we are paralyzed, we realize and we turn to Allah and we make tawbah. Allah says very clearly, wa'afu anna. Allah told us, you ask me that I must forgive you. If we just look at translation, it means forgiveness. But the great, great ulama who have explained what this meaning is, that what is the meaning? Oh Allah, destroy all the evidence of my sins. Allah is saying, you ask me that I must destroy all the evidence of your sins. And when Allah told you to ask, Allah is going, He wants to do it. He just wants you to ask. That's all what is left. You just ask and Allah says, I will destroy all that. And that evidence is destroyed in this world from the malaika also. Kiram and Katibin who are writing down everything, from their records it is destroyed also. From the hands and legs, everything, record is kept everywhere. From there also it is destroyed. And Allah Himself destroyed it. Destroys it. Which piece of ground you committed that sin, record is kept there also. That also Allah destroys it. And it is mentioned, our Shaykh says, that Allah did not even keep the favor of the malaika that Allah told them, you destroyed. And they tell us, you know, I did you a great favor. I destroyed all your files from the high court, from the supreme court, from the world court. Allah says, I myself, I destroy everything. So there's no evidence left against you. And then, waghfir lana, it's again just asking for forgiveness. But the meaning of that is, oh Allah, bury all our evil, whatever we have done. And they were so great buzurgs, what and what, before their lives were different completely. But Allah buried it completely. Wa izharil jameel. And make the good, make it shine out. And the people will only talk good about you. And Allahu Akbar. Warhamna, what does it mean? Oh Allah, you shower your great, great mercies and kindness upon us in spite of the fact that we are deserving of your worst, worst punishment. And Allah is saying that you ask me, warhamna, and what does it mean? That, oh Allah, I am deserving of the worst punishment. But in spite of that is kareem, that is rahman, that is raheem, that is haleem, that is jawad. Who? Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala. And Allah says, you just ask me. And asa an yatuba alaykum. Allah's asa, possibility is 100% guarantee. That definitely Allah, you just sincerely. What those conditions which Mawlana explained? Very briefly, realize we have done wrong. Don't justify ourselves. And come out of that sin which we are involved in. Thirdly, at that time when we are making tawbah, be firm. Make a firm resolution. I'll never commit this sin again. So much the ulama have said, even if you go and commit it the same day again. But at that time when you are making tawbah, you made this firm resolution, I'm not going to commit that sin again. then Allah Ta'ala accepts that also. And whatever you have to pay in, then pay it in. If you have to pay in to Allah Ta'ala, namazas, rozas, pay, start paying it in. And Allah is also so kind, if you started paying already and you didn't complete, it is greatly hoped, all the ulama have written, Allah will forgive it. You started already. That person who killed 100 people, he was just walking towards where he had to go, and he passed away on the way, Allah put him in Jannah after killing 100 people. So this is the great mercy and kindness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So, and Allah has given us this opportunity. Wherever ulama's bayans take place, listen. Every Tuesday night, mashallah, brothers from here come. There is a program. Many other ulama also have programs. Go and listen. We don't know where we will just pick up that spark that will change our lives. And our lives will be made of this dunya also. Our lives will be made of akhirat also. And we don't know which spark lights which heart at which time. Everyone, the same. I tried that lighter, it didn't work for me. Somebody else tried it, it works there. So which spark of which alim on whom it works, we don't know when it works, and once that spark just hits our heart, you get surprised, and the world, I knew this person. It's the same person, one great person, who was in Delhi, no time to go into the details. When one day in Karachi he was making bayan, his neighbor who was his friend, only a wall dividing the two, he says, this is the same man making such a great bayan. I knew him, he only knew him to be what he knew him in those days. He should go to dance parties. He used to sing, and today he's making a top bayan. And lives of people are changing. So this is all in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. People who were way out completely. At that time, there was one famous film in India, long before our time, by the name of Suraya, some film. When his daughter was born, he gave the daughter's name Suraya. Just imagine, but when he started making his bayans and calling people to Allah, thousands of people's lives have changed. So this is the qudrat of Allah. We just have to become aware, awaken, and ask Allah for that spark to hit my heart. And we will change. And people will be shocked. Is this that same person? We knew him what he was, and he has become. Sins are our worst enemies. Sins are our only enemies. Let us realize them. There is no enjoyment in any sin whatsoever. It's a very, very temporary thing. I'll complete now, inshallah. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, whatever sins, when which is common today, is illicit love affairs, is the spawn, is all these filthy, dirty things. At that time, a person seems to enjoy it. He seems to enjoy it. He's fine. But thori der ki lazzat. For a little time, this enjoyment, daimi zillat. And forever and ever, disgrace on you after that. And all this, yeah, this little while, apparent enjoyment. And how Hazrat explains that? When now, after, shaitan makes every sin look very nice. And after committing the sin, the reality of it opens up. And the reality, our Shaykh puts it in one beautiful poem. Dilo pe hatore. Hammers are hitting down on your heart. Maghas mein khunte. And in your head, those hooks, iron hooks are pulling on your head. Now, la yamutu fiha wa la yahya. You don't find no pleasure. Now you are, with your wife, you don't, at home you are not at ease. Outside the house you are not at ease. Nowhere you find ease. And may it not happen, you can't sleep also anymore. And you just worried now. Then you realize that little enjoyment which I thought was enjoyment, whether it carried on for 2 years or 10 years an affair, you'll realize that it was absolutely nothing but just disgrace and humiliation and destruction. But now it's too, and if you made sabr at that time, nafs will be there. It will make its demands that commit this guna, commit that guna, look here, look there. If you fell for that, then you are in problems. If you did not, then afterwards you just have great enjoyment and pleasure. May Allah Ta'ala guide us all to righteousness, and may Allah save us from our nafs and our shaitan which is with us, and may Allah Ta'ala let us realize how terrible sins are and what their results are and what they bring to a person. And of course, on the other side, are the good deeds, what they bring to a person. How our good deeds translate into beautiful enjoyments. One is, La ilaha illallah will turn into Jannat. And what a Jannat! Everlasting Jannat. What palaces you have. You don't have to worry of maintenance. You don't have to worry that you are built too high. or no bull will come to you. Hey, not only that you are built too high, no bull will come to you. You don't have to worry of any maintenance. Fruit you will get, whatever, in season fruit, out of season fruit, to your heart's desire, and forever and ever. Good deeds are the best friends we can have. But shaitan makes good deeds to be, appear to be very hard. To get up for fajr is a problem. To speak the truth, when I've got a police officer, a traffic officer stop me, I can get away with a lie. I can get away with a bribe. Yeah, just give me my driver's license and put a 59, 100 rand, whatever, and it's over. On the other hand, to go through the actual correct procedure, that I want to do it the right way, it seems very hard. But you do it the right way, the fruit will be very, very sweet, extremely sweet. May Allah give me also, I'm deeply in need, we are all in deeply, deeply, and for that we need continuous effort on our nafs. Otherwise, the dunya, the friends we said, they say, hey, you stupid man. You just gave him a 200 rand and everything is over. What, you going into this whole court case and you are now they're going to jail you and lock you up? You were speeding to way out of out of the limit, and now you have to go and report and all this. You just pay the, just give a bribe and it's over. What, you we just speak a lie, yeah, and it's all over. Everywhere you can get away with these things. But a mu'min is that person, may Allah make us amongst them, who remain firm and they don't waver, and Allah's help then comes accordingly. I'm in deeply in need, we are all in deeply in need of it. May Allah grant it to us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.